This is James Corbett, and you are tuned into CorbettReport.com. It is currently the 23rd of February, 2011, here in Japan, and I am joined on the line once again by 9/11 researcher Aidan Monahan. And longtime listeners of the Corbett Report might remember that we talked to him last year about his tireless efforts in pursuing Freedom of Information Act requests in relation to the false flag terror attacks of 9/11. And he has continued to pursue his research and has recently released a new scientific analysis that was just published in the Journal of 9/11 Studies. And it's entitled The Review of Analysis... Sorry, Review of Analysis of Observed and Measured In-Flight Turns Suggests Superior Control of 9/11 WTC Aircraft. Aidan Monahan, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us again today.
How you doing, James? Thanks for having me back.
All right. Well, it's very good to have you here, and it's exciting to talk about this work because it's extremely interesting and important work. But perhaps we can start by just giving the listener an overview of what you were looking at in this paper and what spurred you to start looking into it.
Well, there are many video clips of United Airlines Flight 175 striking World Trade Center Building 2 on September 11. And there was one in particular I noticed when looking around at different clips that captures most of the last 13 seconds of the flight of United 175 as it approached World Trade Center 2. And in fact, it does capture virtually all of the last 8 seconds. And what I noticed during this clip was as the plane approached and the angle of the camera was such that you could actually see the angle of the bank angle of the aircraft with respect to its location, with respect to the building as it was approaching. It just was a very ideal almost type of shot. And what one can notice is that the plane begins its banked 20-degree turn about a mile and a half from the building. And without correction, would have been able to strike the building from that distance, which is, in my opinion, a rather remarkable feat for an untrained pilot. And in my view, possibly suggested the role of flight control computers or other avionics and autopilot systems, as opposed to the unproven allegation of hijacker pilots in control of these airplanes.
That's right. And I'd highly suggest people go to the links from this interview to actually read the paper itself, because it has some excellent diagrams and things that really break down why this is such an amazing feat. But perhaps you can do that in audio form for the listeners out there who don't appreciate exactly how amazing a feat that is, and why a constant bank turn to hit a target in another location, why that is something that's actually quite difficult to do.
Well, sure. What it does require is the precise coordination of at least two factors: the selection of a correct bank angle from the given location from where you are making this turn, and also traveling at a rate of 799 feet per second, the initiation of this turn at the precisely correct time. Because the turn that we observe, had it started a second sooner even or later than observed, means the plane misses the building by 799 feet necessarily.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a huge difference from a tiny difference in initial conditions. And again, that's made quite clear with some of the diagrams and things that you provide in this study. How about the idea of crosswinds as well? Doesn't that come into play?
Right. This whole scenario is complicated further by the existence of crosswinds that were estimated by NIST, I believe, to be traveling between 11 and 22 feet per second, if I'm not mistaken. And using the average, I determined that during this final seconds, using an average of those two estimates, during the final 8 seconds of flight, one can estimate using a vector triangle trigonometry that the aircraft would potentially, had the turn not been so precisely calculated, the plane could have been pushed off course by as much as 120 or 130 feet. And the fact that it didn't get pushed off course, in my opinion, implies extraordinary luck or the involvement of flight management computers, which do assess wind directions and speeds during flight.
Right, so it's not completely out of the realm of possibility that this was human-controlled, but it's extremely unlikely.
I would deem it unlikely, especially given the fact that these pilots were allegedly inexperienced. these hijacked pilots that were who were accused.
All right. Well, when we start talking about the idea of some sort of computer-aided or it's guided flight, we're obviously talking about flight management systems and control wheel steering and other types of systems. Let's break down some of the systems that were available in 2001 and what could potentially have been used to do this.
Yeah, during the late 1990s, there were avionics systems, GPS signal receivers that were all scheduled for installation in Boeing 757s and 767s. In the several years before the attacks, the Y2K situation facilitated the expedited installation of some of these systems because the airlines and Boeing were concerned that the older systems couldn't handle the potential problems posed by the Y2K situation, which turned out not to be much of a problem at all. But by 2000, most or if not all of the United 757, 767 fleets and American Airlines as well are known to have contained these future function systems that were capable of supporting many of the future functions that came online about 3, 4, or 5 years later and that are continuing to come online to this day that utilized GPS and other features.
Right, so there are systems with sort of advanced functionality that have the ability for backwards compatible software in the future to be added onto them.
Exactly, yeah. There were some future function systems that were essentially dormant within the fleets of these aircraft for several years until they were later approved by the FAA. And also as well, the augmented GPS signal that was compatible with these avionics was also available, but not for public safety purposes. But it was available, and the FAA finally approved it for public service or public safety purposes in the year 2003. But it had been turned on in the year 2000 and was continuing to be tested.
What about the possibility of just the regular autopilot function that planes would have been equipped with at that time? Would that have been capable of doing the type of turn that we've witnessed?
I think so, but the augmented GPS signal made these attacks a potential reality, given the extraordinary accuracy that they provided of placement. Accuracy of about 3 to 7 meters, which was a huge improvement over unaugmented GPS, which might place you in the ballpark of 100 meters location accuracy.
Right, but these are really
for a signal receiver, whether it be right. A human being on the ground with a handheld or avionics in an aircraft.
Right, but we are talking about quite pinpoint accuracy here with regards to striking the tower. So,
right, and also previous to 2000, the GPS signal had been scrambled to deter abuse by foreign enemies, and that scramble or that function, that scrambling function, was removed by the Clinton administration in the year 2000 in May, and then in August, the augmented signal was activated.
All right. Well, let's talk about the perfect, perfectly stable bank angle of the turn of the plane made. And you describe that in the paper, and you also describe the control wheel steering feature, which would have been capable of doing that type of thing. Tell us about the remarkable nature of that bank.
Well, sure. It's a what you've observed in the video are two banked turns. You've observed one that begins no later than 1.5 miles from the building, possibly sooner because it's hard to see. We cannot see behind the smoke being created by World Trade Center 1 and the fire. But the first banked turn becomes evident at 1.5 miles. It's already into the turn, or rather at 1.2 miles. And for another reason, which I'll hopefully explain later, we can estimate that turn probably began at 1.5 miles. Later on, 2.5 seconds before impact with the building, we observe another turn of 18 degrees from the 20 that we see the plane in, the 20-degree position that we see the plane in. And using trigonometry, we can determine that second turn was not necessary to cause impact. it only produced about 19 or 20 feet of additional lateral movement toward the center of the building. And without this turn, the plane, based on trigonometry calculations, would still have hit World Trade Center 2.
But at a slightly different spot then, just a little bit more towards the outside of the building.
Correct. I think if I recall, it was about 40 feet from the direct center of the building that it would have hit without the second turn.
Very interesting.
I suspect, therefore, that maybe this turn could have been included in an autopilot flight plan to perhaps create an impression for the observer of active human control of the airplane.
Right, because that would seem to suggest that somebody was actually doing that, because it wouldn't be part of a pre-programmed, perfectly tuned flight, right?
Just the I just suspect, given that there was no need for the second turn, that I believe it was included, possibly, into an autopilot flight plan that was intended to create an impression for the observer that these planes were under active human control.
Well, I've heard lots of different scenarios and speculation over the years regarding different scenarios that could have been in play regarding the control of the planes, and there have been speculations about WTC-7 having been involved in some sort of command bunker type scenario, or there's the AWACS and the Doomsday plane and all of that was flying overhead at the time. What about your research and what it's uncovered regarding any possible use of these types of systems?
Well, the flight management systems, the newer generation ones that were installed, were capable of supporting remotely transmitted flight plans from the airlines themselves. These systems are now in regular use by the airlines, but at the time they were not. And basically, what these systems support, for example, is the transmission and receipt of an entirely new flight plan during a flight as it's in progress. And these flight plans could be, and all the necessary waypoints can be transmitted and directly installed into the flight control computers. And execution of these plans only requires several keystrokes on the within the cockpit to implement the plans. I've also read other references to possibly modifying an actual flight plan as it's in progress, although the reference material is not as abundant as I would like, because it's compelling information, but I can't seem to find any more references or explanations of that.
Interesting. All right, well, what other aspects of this paper do you want to discuss?
Just basically cutting to the chase and, eliminating much of the math. It's just the fact that the distance from which this turn began, also coupled with the fact that there were winds present capable of pushing this aircraft way off course, given that this plane was able to precisely hit World Trade Center Building 2 using a turn without correction from a mile and a half distance under wind conditions that could push it wide. And also, another remarkable aspect also is the fact that a banking error of 5 degrees left or right would also have caused the plane to wind up about 100 feet left or right of the building center. So not only do we have the correct bank angle selection, we also have the correct turn start time, and also the correct turn bank angle that somehow accounted for these winds, which a human pilot could not do from a cockpit.
Right.
Without instrument support.
Exactly, right.
At least. And for an amateur to do this on a first try without correction from a mile and a half away is just implausible to me.
Unless he's getting some Cessna training that I don't know about. But
exactly, yeah. Exactly. Well, and also doing some other reading, too, I have found that regarding avionics, these Boeing 757s, 767s contained early ground proximity warning systems, basically collision avoidance systems, that contained databases of large obstacles, mountains that could potentially obstruct a flight, and, you know.
The World Trade Center?
And, well, sure enough, and it turns out after reading some general aviation publications that the databases on board the 9/11 aircraft, according to one aviation source, did contain the World Trade Center buildings. Hmm. So that we know that now these buildings were, in fact, contained in the flight control computer databases on board the aircraft. What was done with that information on 9/11, who knows?
Right. Right. Well, obviously, a lot of the analysis here is centered around UA-175 because we have the video footage of that coming in. But how about American Airlines Flight 11?
Well, there are some rare photographs, I believe, recorded by a webcam that was located in Brooklyn that was taking regular photographs of Lower Manhattan automatically every few seconds. And this camera, and they're available through the Wikipedia page of the 9/11 attacks. That's where I found those. And what you can see also is the in the final two frames, you can see American Airlines Flight 11, its final approach, which is also a descending approach, a fairly steeply descending approach. And based on the impact angle of the wings, we can also therefore determine that American Airlines Flight 11 also struck World Trade Center 1 in a similar fashion to United 175, using a descending banked turn.
So again, we're dealing with the same types of issues with that.
Yes. One would think that an amateur pilot might, you know, reach the altitude of the desired impact point from a much greater distance and fly straight into the buildings. But what instead we see are much more complicated descending banked turns and still achieving very precise impacts via those turns. And that just seems suspect to me.
Absolutely. Well, reminiscent of the 270-degree corkscrew turn at the Pentagon as well. So very
exactly. We're seeing three. We're seeing impacts via three turns going on here. And when you read the research of and development papers for the augmented GPS signal published by Stanford in 1998, you find that this augmented GPS signal does in fact support descending and ascending constant radius bank turns that can be flown entirely under autopilot control.
Extremely compelling information. Well, how does this fit into the greater picture of the information you've been collecting and assembling on the planes and on other aspects of what was going on in 9/11?
Well, based on the research, the capability for these attacks to have unfolded under autopilot control, it was entirely there. And yet we've been asked to accept a virtually totally unproven official story, at least regarding the World Trade Center flights, that hijackers were responsible. There's virtually no evidence for it. There are apparently no eyewitnesses of them behind the controls. There are no confessions of them behind the controls. There are no fingerprints of them having been behind the controls. There were no black boxes recovered suggesting that they were behind the controls. So the official story is so weak, and yet the public has accepted it virtually without question.
Although apparently there was the communication, we have some planes.
Yes, and what most people fail to note regarding that is anyone capable of transmitting on that frequency could have made that broadcast. An aircraft sitting on a tarmac could have made that broadcast.
Absolutely, not exactly secure communication
exactly.
Channel, and not proof in any way of who was making that communication.
Exactly, right. And it's just been assumed that this must have been Mohammed Atta behind the controls of Flight 11.
Right, exactly.
So you're looking at very weak evidence here to support that has been the basis of just so much.
Absolutely. Well, again, it's just an incredible amount of information to go through, and I do suggest that people go and take a look at it for themselves. And if you have the math skills, why not put in your own numbers and try it for yourself? Because very compelling information. Well, once again, Aidan Monahan, it's great to have you here to discuss these issues. And of course, people can find your information and your blog on 911blogger.com. Are there any other places you'd like to direct people to?
The Journal of 9/11 Studies also, I have two papers published there as well.
I don't know off the top of my head, what were the other papers?
The other one was I forgot the precise title, but it basically detailed all the avionics that were contained by the 9/11 aircraft that made possible the attacks under autopilot control. It was published about 2 years ago.
Right. Well, I know you have done a lot of research in that area, so I'll include a link to that paper as well. And people can find that on the documentation for this interview on CorbettReport.com. So, Aidan Monahan, thank you once again for taking the time to talk with us today.
No problem at all. My pleasure.